Sorry.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
And we are back on the Gamers Haven podcast, which is what I say when we come back to a new segment, I guess. But I'm saying it right now. But I've got CantCon melting out my ears right now, which is what this episode is going to be about, because that's all I can really talk about. Did I mention CantCon is melting out my ears? Or did you stop it on this side, or is it still going?
If you
it's
don't
still going.
Press
okay. I'm collecting it. I'm collecting it in
he'll
a jar.
Stab you.
Oh, okay, that's good.
If
yes.
You don't press the links. He'll stab you.
Yes.
Come yes. to CantCon.
If you look at the event catalog PDF, it is fully hyperlinked. Click those goddamn hyperlinks.
I already have. Check out some of these cool things that we have in this.
We're going to be talking about CantCon since we're recording this on April 30th. Tomorrow is the day that event registration goes live, and so we'll talk a bit about it, spread the word, try to answer some of the questions that some people might have about it still. So, and I'll talk a bit about, I guess, my experience thus far in organizing the thing, and the help I've been getting, and all that crazy stuff. So, that all being said, we'll be back after this. FRP Games is an online retailer specializing in all aspects of your tabletop gaming needs. Whether it's RPGs, dice, war games, or computer games, FRP Games has a wide selection of products. They offer overstock items where you can pick up all kinds of gaming gear ranging from 30% off all the way up to 90% off the retail price. Through our website, you'll be directed to their weekly new products, eBay auctions, or you can even buy your special gaming someone a gift certificate. FRP Games is an authorized Wizards of the Coast retailer and for 10 years has been committed to providing each customer with the highest standard of customer service possible. Visit our website for instant access to FRP Games inventory of thousands of unique gaming items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
This is Ethan with the Gamers Haven podcast, and I'm here to tell you about CantCon. For those of us who can't con, there's CantCon. CantCon will be held at the Johnson County Community College Regnier Center in Overland Park, Kansas, in the Capitol Federal Conference Room on July 9th through the 11th between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. There will be RPG events, board game events, card game events, miniatures games, as well as open gaming tables for impromptu sessions. Pre-registration is open currently, and if you pre-register, you'll receive an additional chance to win swag at CantCon. We have over $2,500 worth of prizes to give away over the course of the convention, and we hope to give it all away. In addition, if you pre-register, you can get a 3-day pass for only $25. If you're only interested in coming one day at a time, you can for only $10 a day. There will be registration available at the door, but you'll have less of a chance to win free prizes that way. Join us at Johnson County Community College for CantCon on July 9th through the 11th, from beginning at 8 a.m. daily. Visit www.cantcon.com for more information. Well, we are back, and today on the Wonderful Gamers Haven podcast, we are going to be talking, as we said in the intro, about CanCon, the gaming convention that we're organizing at Johnson County Community College on, July 9th to the 11th, starting at 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. And obviously, we've talked about it a few times here, and this, of course, started all last year with CanCon over at Jeremy's house. But now we've got more people that... Jeremy's house wouldn't work this time, really, especially with your recent problems with the place.
Stuff happens.
Yep, that happens. But you know what? We're going to be at Johnson County Community College. It's going to be nice. We're going to have quite a lot of events going on, and we're still trying to get the word out. I still will be making some appearances at Super Nerd Night in Lawrence next month, month after, to spread the word about it. So, plus, there's going to be an ad in the UMKC paper about CanCon. But what we're talking about today is today is, of course, CanCon, and some of the events and what's going on at CanCon, because that's really sort of what's fresh on my mind right now.
Who's Angela Robertson?
Angela Robertson is going to be an attendee at CanCon. She noticed
us. We should probably blank that name out.
Oh, maybe. She's going to be at CanCon, one of the various people running stuff at CanCon. First things first about it is, obviously, you know, got you the date, time, that sort of thing, but, really we want to talk about the cool stuff, which is, of course, well, I guess the first thing I'll talk about is prizes. So far we have over $2,500 worth of stuff to give away at CanCon. Becca is, of course, the prize mistress, and we'll be organizing the giveaways. We have, I believe at last inspection, and we still have stuff coming in, we have about 112 different things to give away so far. So we have lots of stuff to give away. Lots and lots and lots of stuff to give away.
But you have to register.
But you have to register, and you have to come to CanCon to get a chance to get any of it. So, really, we have a few, some of the people that have donated some stuff to CanCon is Out of the Box Publishing, Rio Grande Games, Pinnacle, Chaosium, Alderac Entertainment Group, Hamster Press, Days of Wonder, Drive Through RPG actually is going to be providing all con attendees with a discount code.
That's cool.
That will get 20% off a number of items from specific companies. Plus, DriveThru RPG sent us 5 free PDFs that will be given away to attendees at CanCon. What's that? Amethyst?
Is that one of them?
Hmm? No. No. That Amethyst was actually sent to us by Goodman Games, by the author. Entirely separate. But DriveThru RPG is giving us stuff to give away.
I'm actually... This is the other one I want to
yes.
run. Age of Cthulhu, Death, and Luxor. It's not in there yet, but it is a 1920s Call of Cthulhu adventure.
Yep. But, you know, lots of cool stuff. Blackblade Publishing, Atlas Games is going to be sending us something. I'm not sure what. Q Workshops, the guys who do those awesome dice, are going to be sending us stuff. I'm also talking with them about some custom dice for CanCon, so we'll see what we can
custom
do.
Custom dice.
They are out of Poland, miraculously enough. So.
Rock.
Really?
Yes, they are Polish. But also Savage Mojo is supposed to be giving us quite a lot of stuff because we're going to be running Suzerain out the yin yang. Scott is going to run the going to host the miniatures paint and take again, this time on the Sunday night of the con, running concurrently with the CanCon Awards and the Gamers Haven retrospective. A few things we haven't talked about in previous shows and a few things that didn't happen here and there is, well, first of all, with the miniatures paint and take, local miniatures company here in Kansas City called Secret Skeleton Miniatures is going to be on hand at CanCon to provide some minis for people to paint at the low cost of $2 each, which is
really
amazing.
Freaking cheap.
Yeah, which is really nice.
That's like
he's also going to be there giving some stuff away
and selling items.
And he will have stuff if people are interested in buying anything because he is a local company. So
yeah.
I'm all about supporting that.
I think I'm going to buy one of those Minotaurs. So those Minotaurs are awesome.
If he has any,
if he doesn't have any, I will pay him to make me one and pick it up later.
But yes, the miniatures paint and take, and it'll go on at the same time as the CanCon Awards. and the Gamers Haven CanCon retrospective, which we did last year, which we're going to do again this year, which will, of course, be presenting all the awards for Best Role Player. And at the end of the paint and take, we'll present the awards for best miniature as well. So, all during that we're going to try to stream that event online through the Gamers Haven Ustream channel. And speaking of that, there will be a computer set up with a webcam for what I'm calling the CantCon Confessional, which is a special treat for con attendees. There'll be a special computer and webcam set up for attendees to record their thoughts and experiences as the convention progresses. If you've got a thought about the game you just played, got something you want the gaming world to hear, or if you want to give a shout out to someone at home, feel free to sit down in front of this camera and record something for posterity. It is going to be broadcast over the Gamers Haven Ustream channel. It will most likely not be recorded entirely, but will just be broadcasted. So if any of our listeners out there want to catch a glimpse of stuff at CantCon, then they can tune into that. So actually, and speaking of our Ustream channel, if you head over to Ustream and look up Gamers Haven, you'll find a video of our paranoia's video game, a video of our paranoia game that we did as a one shot not too long ago. So actually, it's of most of it. It's until the communications and recording officer failed in his mission to record the rest of the session with no tape.
I told him to just put in a new tape.
Yeah, he obviously ignored you.
I know. He should have washed his hands.
Anyway, the on from that is the stuff we're all running at CantCon. I think Nathan, you mentioned you're running a Call of Cthulhu. What else? What are you? Tell us about what you're running at CantCon.
Well, on Friday between 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. I'm running. Is it 1 p.m.? It's either 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. One of those two. I'm running Pathfinder
Off
the Cuff. Friday.
Oh yeah. Your Pathfinder game improvised play runs 1 to 5. Friday.
I thought I normally... Did I just call it improvised play? It's supposed to be called Pathfinder Off the Cuff. I gave you the wrong name.
You said improvised play. I can fix that if you really need to.
It's Pathfinder Off the Cuff. What it is it's going to be pretty much improvised. I'll have a set of characters for everybody to play.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of odds and ends for the town that you're in. You know, a couple places to go and explore, and players will be allowed to go do what they want to do. If they want to sit in the tavern and drink ale the entire time, that's fine. I'm probably going to throw a fight at them or drop a piano on their head. But it'll be completely improvised. There will be no plot. There will be no dragging the players and throwing them into dungeons and stuff like that to get them to do stuff. It's all up to the players. So if they want to go out and be heroes and beat the poor monsters into submission and get the treasure or maybe save a princess or whatnot, you know, whatever happens, happens. So, you know, I may actually run it more than once just for the sake of the fact that it could be a completely different game with completely different people.
Oh, yeah. And I should note that all of the role-playing events are going to be recorded as well, so we're going to do our best to podcast all of them eventually. So
yes.
I can't really speak to say how great the audio is going to be because we are going to be in sort of close quarters with some people, so we'll see. But we are going to try to record everything for you guys. So
The second thing I'm running is... Shadows of Time, which is a Call of Cthulhu game that takes place in the 1920s in the Mekong River Delta. So a great Asiatic adventure dealing with...
And that's running Saturday 1 to 5.
1 p.m. to 5 p.m. It deals with several students who, due to the fact that their math teacher, who taught non-Euclidean math, suddenly...
He's on page 38 of the PDF.
The professor of Euclidean mathematics fell ill, and without his class, they couldn't earn their final credits for their degree, so they were forced to go on this expedition to the remote Mekong River Delta to study some ancient ruins that appear to predate even man. But there is no mistaking the sinister unease you feel in the jungle paradise. Something is wrong. You only hope that you and your colleagues can find the truth in the shadows of time before you... And I just skipped the page.
And everyone else is dead.
Before you and everyone else is dead.
Dun dun dun!
On the planet, in a city,
in the world,
there's a man who owns a taco stand.
Listen to me, you have to get out! They're trying to take my tortillas!
Get to the chopper!
I don't remember
no,
the name of
No, that's not that type of game.
Yeah, no, I don't remember the name of the comedian who does that, but it's literally like spot on for the announcer and Arnold. And the last thing I'm going to run, I just decided I'm gonna throw this in. I may actually, like I said, I may actually run the Pathfinder twice if there's enough space for me to do so.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'm going to run, I'm definitely going to do it, is we got this awesome adventure from Goodman Games for Call of Cthulhu called Age of Cthulhu, Death and Luxor.
They put out two more since then, actually.
Oh, this one is so good. I'm curious to see what they did with the other two, because they continue. The stories continue. And this is really well done. It's called Death and Luxor. In the age of the pharaohs, a great and unfathomable evil arose from the murky depths to cast its gibbous shadow over ancient Egypt. At the cost of his empire, Rameses III imprisoned the horror beneath the sands of Luxor, where it has slumbered ever since. In 1924, a team of visiting archaeologists unearthed the last remaining testament of that ancient mystery, only to unleash a terror from out of time. Now death stalks the dusty streets of Luxor, and a new age of horror is at hand. Can your investigators succeed where the mightiest of pharaohs have failed, or will they fall victim to Luxor's secret past? Set throughout the globe and torn from the pages of the hidden history of the world, Age of Cthulhu adventures bring new secrets and mind-bending horrors to your 1920s Call of Cthulhu game. Each adventure comes with copious player handouts, detailed maps, and pre-generated investigators ready to risk their lives and their sanity to confront the horrors of an uncaring universe. The nice thing about this is everything's already done, which is really cool. So I can make photocopies of the 1, 2, 3, 4... Well, I'm going to have to add a couple more because there's only 5 characters.
Yeah, that's the Age of Cthulhu line, and there's 2 more out in it. There's Madness in London Town and Shadows of Leningrad.
I might have to actually go buy those.
And they have 2 more slated for release, Horrors from Yugoth and Abominations of the Amazon. So,
because this one was really good. I read through the adventure. The adventure seems very well paced. I should be able to finish it in a 4-hour session if I'm careful.
And actually, the Abominations of the Amazon is coming out on Free RPG Day.
When is that again?
It is June 1st, I believe. Or no, not June 1st. Free RPG Day. I love we're going off topic. But it doesn't matter. It's our show. We can do what we want. Free RPG Day. Once the website loads, I'll let you know. But Age of Cthulhu, the Horrors from Yugoth comes out. Actually, does not say. It might be out already, but it is not. Doesn't say. Tell me on the website. Let's see. Free RPG Day is Saturday, June 19th. So fairly soon, actually. It's a couple weeks from now. But a lot of companies are going to be giving out some free stuff for that. From Goodman Games, Fantasy Flight, Guild of Blades, Paizo, Q Workshop, Skirmisher, Publishing, Troll Lord, White Wolf, Wizards of the Coast, tons of stuff, looks like. So I think the closest place to hear that's participating is Hometown Games. There's a place in Missouri that's doing its cafe game. It's also doing it as well. But so you're going to run Death and Luxor?
Yes, I am.
Excellent, excellent. Cthulhu is fairly popular. A lot of people want to play that. So
yeah, and there never seems to be enough games. So
Nope. There is a Trail of Cthulhu game that's going to be running at CantCon from one of the attendees. Let me find it on here. The Trail of Cthulhu is The Murderer of Thomas Fell. It's going to be run by attendee John Hook. Looks like it is, of course, a man close to you, father, business partner, informant, friend has gone missing. The search begins at his house, which is not as it seems. Following the trail of the missing man leads you to a startling and perilous adventure. Finding him may change your life and his forever. Tonight you meet the murderer of Thomas Fell. The Murderer of Thomas Fell is a great basic adventure for the Trail of Cthulhu system under Gumshoe by Pelgrane Press. Newcomers are welcome to this, so come out and try the new fun and fast-paced system. So that sounds interesting. Now, Jeremy, what are you running at CantCon? Do you remember?
Maybe. I'm running 2 Savage World Pirate games, one of which the version one I ran last year, and
is,
I will be coming up
Bloody Mary's Revenge part right. 1 and part 2 now.
Yes.
So if people listen to the Pirates game from last Gen Con, I keep wanting to say Gen Con on the brain, CantCon, that you're running that again plus the sequel,
right?
The second part, I should say.
The second part. So running that with Savage World rules, Then I'm also running Suzerain.
Suzerain du Grimaine's Dream of Crossed Gears.
Yes, it sounds like a fey tale.
The description we have is that inventors' dreams hold the key to unlocking a mystery, so you need to travel beyond our world to the fey realm of dreams, where the Duke of Crossed Gears chooses what's real and what's not.
Right. And then I will also be running Star Wars. We don't have a sound system. I guess I could pipe Star Wars music through, but...
We do have a sound system, but no, you can't pipe Star Wars music through it.
That's lame.
Denied.
Well, you have to pump at least one song through it.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's to the entire place, and it's not going to happen.
The battle for Endor, the first battle
that,
for
Endor. That's fascinating. It's still not going to happen. But Dastardly Deeds is the name of that one,
I guess. I'll just run the music through my laptop or something.
Dirty Deeds. Done dirt cheap.
So, I think it'll be interesting. I don't know if I'll be playing anything.
Well, so you got Star Wars, Dastardly Deeds. I think that's all your...
Four games.
Really, yeah.
To survive, Galactus must feed.
I mean, I can jump in to help with others if need be.
Sure, sure. And there's going to be a lot of open gaming going on and available at CantCon for attendees. I'm going to be running a number of things, including a Suzerain campaign, a Suzerain game. I'm running two instances of a feng shui game.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1988.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1988. I mentioned it to some people, and it got some buzz, so I decided to run it twice. But it's anyone familiar with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen the comic books, and not the crappy movie, but the comic books knows that it's, you know, Alan Quartermain and... Mina Harker and the Invisible Man, and Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde from basically as a superhero team. I've taken that and jumped it up to 1988, where Dr. Emmett Brown needs some help. Time itself is in danger, and the League, newly reformed and funded by the Banzai Institute, the Foundation for Law and Government, and the Phoenix Foundation, has a specific needs for the best heroes 1988 has to offer. The League needs to stop this master control program before it completes Skynet and starts a domino effect that collapses the time-space continuum forever.
MCP.
So, yeah. Let's see, the characters that I will reveal so far, of course, is John McClane will be available to play.
Come to L.A., drink a few beers, we'll have a good time.
Exactly. The classic Maverick cop. Also, the classic everyman hero, Jack Burton, will be available. Johnny Five from Short Circuit will be available, as will Teen Wolf. Mm-hmm. MacGyver will be amongst the playable characters.
With a toothpick, a roll of baling wire and duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
With that, he'll be able to fashion an airplane to save all your lives at the end of the game.
Of course. I think Jessica Fletcher is going to be in there, too. Miss Murder, She Wrote Herself.
Yeah, you know,
two others I will leave in the air right now.
I usually don't do gender benders, but I would play that game just for the sake of fact of being able to play.
I have an image of Jessica Fletcher with a 357 Magnum.
Going, chew on this.
Yeah, and there you go. But
the
I'm running,
entire time in the background, I'm hearing
running that feng shui game, running it on Friday and Saturday. I'm going to also be running one of the Savage Suzerain games, Savage Mojo, where it's a fantasy setting this time. So basically what Suzerain is sort of like once your characters in any Savage Worlds game reaches legendary level and they move past that, they actually move past that into demigodhood.
Which is awesome.
And then they basically are recruited by the gods to go to different universes and fix things, is sort of what Suzerain is all about. And so basically if you are going to be at CantCon and you want to play some Savage Worlds with some epic level awesomeness,
Suzerain's the way to go.
There's actually six different Suzerain games running, all with the same characters. However, if you can play in all six games if you wish. You can play the same character in all six and advance him. You can jump in and play the character, have someone else play the character. That's fine. But there's two games running a day on that, and they're all different scenarios. So lots of Savage Suzerain going on. Actually, yeah. There's a lot of Savage Worlds going on.
Yeah, there is. Savage Worlds seems to be the number one game.
There's about a dozen Savage Worlds games going on, like Space 1889, your Pirates games. Someone is doing a Savage Worlds version of Fallout.
Well, Savage Worlds is just a great system to do all that stuff.
They can do pretty much, if you can think of it, you can do it. By the way, you're talking about having Jessica Fletcher. This is what I kept hearing in the back of my head.
There you go.
With a machine gun.
And the other thing I'm running is I'm doing the Terror of Galactus scenario of HeroClix.
As so, I said earlier, to survive.
My brother is going to be running some BattleTech. He just submitted. So
yeah, I'm not even going to try that again.
he'll get some BattleTech out there. We're getting a ton of cool stuff. I think Becca's going to run some Talisman. There's a guy coming in who's going to run the Age of Conan board game, which I think is kind of cool. I want to at least check that out.
I want to at least see it. Yeah.
There's an Age of Conan
board
game.
It's a huge
it's from Fantasy
board
Flight.
Game too.
It's like an $80 board game. It's one of their enormous ones.
Apparently, you take control of like a whole entire kingdom and duke it out with other kingdoms.
And it's Fantasy Flight, so it's probably awesome. Nick is running a ton of stuff, like the Trailer Park Wars tournament, Thunder Hamsters and the Temple of Cheese.
Isn't he running the Run for Your Life Candyman Gingerbread Tournament?
Yep, he's running an Are You the Traitor, and the Run for Your Life Candyman Tournament with real cookies.
Well, if things work out, what we'll probably do is...
No.
Which, what we'll probably do is have a bunch of small candy... cookie men, and then 3 to 5 large ones. So if you win, you get one of the large ones as a prize.
So yes, Run for Your Life Candyman tournaments on Sunday.
That's the goal.
Which is running 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. But really with the board games, just to make it clear with the board games, they're sort of not really shoehorned into slots or anything. They're sort of have their own times that they're running. And you can jump into the board game, any of the board games, really sort of loosely. So and like, especially if it's a tournament style thing, if you're bumped out, you can actually go play something else. The Gamers Haven library is going to be available for people, and people are welcome to also bring their own stuff to play and run for stuff, or products. If you raid your closet and look in there and see anything that has been gathering dust that you're never ever going to play, it's a board game or a card game or something like that, send it on to us and we'll put it in our library. Maybe someone out here would like to play it now and again. So it becomes the property of the Gamers Haven social club. So with what we have in the future plans is to have a lot more events run and have that library available to members. So. Speaking of library, Nathan has dug out a bunch of stuff as well. It looks pretty sweet.
Well, some of it's duplicates that we have, and some of it's just stuff we've never played. We have this card game that we found really doesn't work well for anything less than like 6 people.
Food Fight. Did you get this at Gen Con?
Yes, it was one of the products that was given to me, so I figured we'd put it in the library so that way it'll actually get used. Except it says here no one knows about it.
Food Fight from Role Players, Inc.
Yep. It's a fun game, but you really need a lot of people to play it. Next, we have the starter deck for Call of Cthulhu, the CCG, for the Investigators.
Which is now the Call of Cthulhu Living Card game.
Yep. And the Mythos. Both of those are unopened.
Mm. Nice.
Of course, a copy of Treehouse.
Treehouse. Hey, you know, we gotta love Looney Labs. In the library already is a couple versions of Flux. So,
I've got another thing to give it.
A game called Blink, the world's fastest card game.
Ah, yes, from Out of the Box Games. Fabulous.
A role-play card game called Noah's Quest.
Noah's Quest, eh? Huh, never heard of it.
Another card game a religious card game.
Momentum Force Game Systems put it out, momentumforce.com.
A game by Tom Lehman for Uber Play, Jericho.
Jericho from Uber Play. Nice.
Unfortunately, not, you know, the Jericho where you get a tank and, you know, attack your neighbors.
Yeah. Sadly.
A card game called Good Question that has a buzzer or a bell.
A bell. It's like it's more of a party game.
It's more of a party game, but it can still be used. Damn, that's loud.
It is loud.
Of course, Tutankhamun.
The infamous Tutankhamun that we had to get the power tools out
of. The game
that
required a power tool to play.
Not a bad game, it's just not for us.
It's not a bad game at all. Actually, it's pretty interesting. It's just Yeah, nobody should be required to break out power tools to play the bloody board game.
See?
Jeremy was here when he played. We played it with Jeremy, weren't you?
No, you didn't play with
me. No, it was Michael that was here.
Yes, it was Michael.
I heard that there was power tools needed, and I was like, no.
Forget that.
Their other game was pretty fun, though.
All of Reiner Knizia's games are not bad.
No, we're talking about the Gold Digger.
Gold Digger.
Yeah, wasn't that done by Reiner Knizia as well?
I don't remember. I'd have to look.
Because this one's a Reiner Knizia. The same guy did Fish Eat Fish.
Uh-huh.
Which,
Fish Eat Fish is good.
Yeah, Fish Eat Fish will be staying in my library. It will not be going anywhere. And last but not least, a game that has garnered a lot of praise, but I just did not care for it, is Mystery Rummy. Case number 3, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Robert Louis Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde tells the classic story of the dual nature of man. This game of strategy based on the famous novel allows players to score points by making melds corresponding to the current state of the character's main character's split personality. The first player to score 100 points or more wins. It's a interesting premise because it's rummy and I like rummy.
Yeah, I'm not a big rummy fan.
Oh, I like rummy. But the thing is I just didn't care for the setting. But not a bad card game.
Well,
layout.
It will be in the Gamers Haven library available for people to play at CampCon. So,
10 out of 10 for presentation. Everything else is lower. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're going to have a lot of stuff just available for people to play, to throw down a quick game or an impromptu game. And also bring stuff from home if you want. You know, if it's stuff you don't want anymore, bring it and donate it. If it's stuff you want to keep, bring it and play it. You
and
know,
then take it home with you.
And then take it home with you. That's
just please remember that.
It's,
that
yeah,
keep
I
your
mean,
eye
I
on
would
it.
Recommend marking anything you bring with a sticker or something. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend marking it with a sticker. I'd recommend marking it with a permanent mark that you can recognize as your own mark.
Well, however you mark it, I would mark it.
Right, yeah. Right. So that is sort of highlights of what we got going, just a little taste of what's going on at CantCon. If you want to know more, you can go to CantCon.com, which is incidentally going to be undergoing a huge facelift within the next couple weeks, as we were contacted by a web designer in Britain that sort of dug our idea off of when CantCon got boing-boinged. He dug our idea and is going to do a site for us for free. So
that's cool.
Yeah, he's doing pro bono, right?
Yeah, doing
that's
it
very
pro
kind
bono.
Of him.
Yes,
want to say thank you.
He's actually just graduating, or he's teaching, or some such. He is in school in some fashion, and is looking to build his resume. And I've taken a look at the other stuff that he's done, and it's actually pretty sweet stuff. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. His stuff he does, it's a gentleman by the name of Ross Behrman, and you can go to his website, or go to his brother's website at phil, P-H-I-L, dot Ross, R-O-S-S-B-E-A-R-M-A-N, dot co, dot U-K, or to his other site is rossbehrman.co.uk/site. He does... just basically of what I've seen looking at his stuff, it looks very cool.
B-E-A-R-M-A-N,
like Behrman.
Okay, Behrman. I wasn't sure if you meant Behrman, like B-E-H-R?
Or... Nope. I personally really like the phil.rossbehrman.co.uk site. Looks really cool. So, pretty neat stuff. It's phil.rossbehrman.co.uk. But this is the guy that's going to be making or working on the CantCon site for us. So we really
cool.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
So check out his stuff and send him an email. Look at his good stuff and tell him thanks for doing that. So plus hey, it goes on his resume. I'm very happy and very excited to see what this guy does because my meager skills as a web designer is just that meager. So. But that's Ross in Great Britain doing that for us. So nice. He's.
I like how we have all these people throughout the world. That's
mm-hmm.
really awesome.
Yep. So we have spreading the word, getting the just want to get the community together and whatnot. We also CantCon got a mention on the Troll in the Corner blog, which is at Troll in the Corner. corner, which is at trollitc.com, which is a collection of a lot of different people that blog on there. It's about board games, card games, literature, movies, role-playing games, tech, tons of stuff. It's actually a really cool site. And they were very nice enough to do an article on CantCon and send us a small donation about it. So,
that's cool.
It was very nice, very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
And that's Ben, a guy named Ben over there. So, definitely want to give a shout out to those guys for the support. Even just the word is nice. So. Yeah. We also got Boing Boinged, which I understand is fairly large, fairly big deal, I guess. Our site didn't go down or anything. We should bug the Penny Arcade guys to mention us or something, and our site will explode or something. I don't know.
Yeah, if the Penny Arcade guys mention us, our site will be down for months.
Yeah, well.
So that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, probably not. But that's it for the discussion on this one. So we are going to be back here shortly.
I'm Mark.
I'm Carol.
I'm Mags. Join us May 18th as we celebrate our 2-year anniversary.
Bye.
5-year anniversary.
Yes, it's been 3 years.
Five.
5 years since All Games Considered began.
Watch agcpodcast.info for more information for our fifth anniversary show, live via Ustream at 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, May 18th, 2010.
There will always be people trapped in intolerable situations. There will always be people who have to hide what they are for fear of persecution. There will always be attempts to suppress a minority. There will always be people in power who are corrupt. There will always be megalomaniacs who want to take control of everything. And the people thought least likely to speak out, least likely to make a difference, always will. The Vajra Enterprises Fiction Podcast, updated every other weekend with stories from the worlds of Vajra Enterprises games, including The Dark and Dangerous City of Fates Worse Than Death, The Magical and Mysterious Tibet, The Cosmological and Ontological Horror of In Dark Alleys, The Post-Apocalyptic Savagery of Kid World, and The Haunted Past of Hoodoo Blues. www.indarkalleys.com.
We are back with a wonderful three-parter, and today on the three-parter, I've got a little rant to go on. Nathan's got some in the news with a little bit about Activision and Infinity Ward and Bungie as well. So, and Jeremy, of course, is going to give a little bit of what we're into. So, we'll go ahead and kick it off with the rant.
The rant.
I have recently started co-hosting and technical duties on another podcast called The Red Phone Zone, and we talk a lot about movies and video games and stuff like that, and most recently a movie came out called Kick-Ass, which was an entertaining movie. It really was. I really like Mark Strong. He's a great villain, but I'm not really going to talk about a review of the movie because it's a fun movie. I'll probably pick it up when it comes out.
Don't take your kids.
Do not. No, it's rated R. It's not for kids. But the thing I want to talk about is Roger Ebert panned the heck out of the movie with basically describing it as morally reprehensible. A lot of people have sort of gone off on those tangents and whatnot and talked about how, oh God, it was a horrible film, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a line from a movie called Bowfinger that I really, really like. And the line comes from Eddie Murphy, who we all know has done some pretty god awful movies.
Oh yeah, horrible.
But he's playing funny. A character in the movie called Kit Ramsey, who's like this big action star, but he's also completely bonkers. he's talking to his agent, or he's talking to someone on the phone, basically, about this film he's doing. And he says a very off-the-cuff remark, which says, "We're making a movie here, not a film." And I think some people need to sit back and sort of take that in and realize that there is a freaking difference between movies and films. Where you have a movie like, oh, I don't know, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen. That is a movie. That is an entertaining movie.
Casablanca.
That is a movie. Casablanca is a film. G.I. Joe is a movie. Maltese Falcon is a film. Death Race, that's a movie. Yeah, that's a fun movie.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's a film. Just barely, really. Fun film, mind you. You know, The English Patient, that's a film. The Godfather, that's a film. Kick-Ass is a movie.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde is a film. There's a difference. When someone sets out to make a film, they're generally trying to make some big, huge, overall moral statement about society or just make some sort of an impact, you know. I would personally argue that District 9 is a film. And it is a great film. I loved District 9. It was wonderful.
It's a biopic on apartheid.
It's a great movie. It's a great film. I love it, all right? However, then you have Avatar, which is a great movie. Not you know, deep and intellectual. It has some deep moments, but
overall, I think it was
it was a gorgeous movie.
It was a commentary.
And I loved the movie. I plan on getting it on Blu-ray when the extended cut comes out.
Yeah, 6 months from now.
Yeah, so I haven't bought the Blu-ray yet. But obviously, they don't need my money. It's made $40 bajillion.
100 or something like four. What was it? 2 million copies in the
first. It broke all Blu-ray records. Yeah. But like District 9 is a great film. It has a lot to say. It's a fun thing to watch, and it's just good. But then you know, I think there's a place in entertainment for movies and films.
Well, not everybody wants to sit there and think in depth about
exactly
everything that
you know. Sometimes I just want to go turn my brain off and watch stuff blow up real good,
right?
And like, for example, I went and saw The Losers last week.
Yeah.
And you know what,
stuff
blew up real well. It's getting horribly panned the heck out of it by critics, but I'm like, you know what, I think movie critics have forgotten why they became movie critics, because really not everything needs to be intellectually deep and thought-provoking and impactful like The Godfather or Julian Julia or whatever. Or what it needs to, sometimes you just need good escapism. Sometimes you just need to go see a good movie, and you don't need to go see a good film.
I think one of the major problems that film critics have fallen, the trap that they've fallen into, is that they automatically assume that because they want an introspective look into the way society mm-hmm. works regularly, they don't like the idea of a smash bang movie.
Yeah,
everybody
else
is the same
it's
way.
It's really the attitude I go with to when I go to the movie theater. Am I going to expect the same out of Iron Man 2 that I'm going to expect out of Gone with the Wind or whatever?
No.
Like I was telling people, if I wanted to see Julian Julia, I would see Julian Julia. But I wanted to go see Transformers Revenge of the Fallen instead. And I did, and I got exactly what I wanted out of that.
If Iron Man was in Gone with the Wind,
then it would be a totally different
movie.
It would not be a film. It would be a movie at that point.
It would be a totally awesome
movie. Oh, yes, it would be an awesome movie. This is... I'm the guy who... I own a copy of Volcano.
Would he wear the dress?
Okay, Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones. Volcano in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that movie. I own that movie.
Where the guy walked through lava?
Yes, yes. God awful terror. I own a copy of Masters of the Universe.
Well, that's just needed.
Well,
it's the Star Wars of the 80s.
I own a copy of Commando because it's the most awesome movie in existence.
And that reminds me that they're going to remake Commando. Why would you make a movie classic like Commando? I mean, without Arnold Schwarzenegger, what's the point?
Did you hear the comments that the director was saying? Well, the original Commando was not faithful to the true Commando style.
I would just
We're going to remake this movie in the true Commando style.
Have you seen the movie
itself? I'm like,
it's Arnold at his best being Arnold. Stuff blows up real good from different angles, and Arnold makes horrible one-liners.
What's
and
the line from the movie?
Let me go get my rifle.
I need to go get my rifle from the shed.
Remember
1-3
when I said I'd kill you last?
That's what
I
think she did.
I lied.
Come on. Those are fun movies.
Or the throwing of the saw blade and the guy's head going off seconds before.
Oh, that was
awesome. This is what I'm talking about.
Seats out of the car.
This is what I'm talking about. You can talk about movies like this at no end and go, you know, that is a fun movie. However, you don't expect it to be...
I'm not going to write...
Silence of the Frickin' Lambs. No. You expect it to be Commando.
I would rather watch Commando than Silence of the Frickin' Lambs.
There you go.
It's because Silence of the Lambs gives people nightmares.
It's just one of those things to me that some movie critics and some people need to get through their thick skulls.
And
that it's
Iron
like there's
Man
a difference.
Was in Silence of the Lambs, I'd watch it.
Yes,
if
exactly.
Iron Man...
And this is, I love Silence of the Lambs. I love movies like L.A. Confidential. Hell, my favorite movie of all time is The Seven Samurai.
No, that's
came
an
out
awesome
in 19.
Movie.
It came
and
out
film.
In the 50s. Came out that, in 1954, I believe.
The reason
57.
I kind of put that in both.
Great film.
Because it's just so much fun.
It's just a great film. It's beautiful.
You don't have
it's
to
wonderful.
Overthink it either.
However, I don't find myself sitting down every week wanting to watch that movie because I want to sit down and take it in and enjoy it like a good cigar or something.
But really, finally watched.
However,
the Wild
I will
Bunch.
Sit down and watch G.I. Joe or the Transporter
I can pop
randomly.
Anytime.
Yeah, I watched Wild Bunch. I'd
great movie.
That
that's a great film. Great film right there.
Freaking film.
Especially for when it was made.
Oh my God.
Sam Peckinpah.
When they were re-releasing that movie on DVD, they almost had to release it unrated because they couldn't get it rated as R anymore.
It is a great movie. I love that movie. It's a wonderful movie. You know, would I classify it in the same vein as, you know, say, they're both Westerns. Let's see. We've got The Wild Bunch and Tombstone. Tombstone, much more fun movie. You can watch Tombstone over and over again and be like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Oh, Silverado. Yeah, that's fun, man.
Silverado's awesome.
But if you want a more serious Western, you watch Unforgiven or you watch Wild Bunch. You know, it's like
you watch it once
different
or twice
feelings
go,
here.
Go,
so
yeah, I think I'm good.
Really, that's the extent of my rant. I think movie critics need to get their head out of their butt and actually enjoy a movie now and again.
Speaking of a movie, I would classify it as a movie. Some people probably would classify it as a film. Have you seen The Seven Ups?
No.
It's a movie with Roy Scheider. Good movie. Check it out. It's on Instant Watch.
Oh, it's on Instant Watch.
It's
okay,
on Instant
cool.
Watch on Netflix. Check it out. It's a good movie. It's
excellent.
A cop drama.
I love me some Instant Watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
So.
Who doesn't?
It
is like the best.
Hey, you know.
When they came out with that, it was like angels sang
got it
in a choir from the heavens.
We've got it in three rooms of the house. We've got it on the Xbox downstairs. We've got it on the Wii upstairs. And we've got it in my room. So.
On the Blu-ray player, right?
On my Blu-ray player, yes.
Yeah, so
I'm like,
I love that feature.
Score. Oh, yeah. Totally worth the extra money I paid for that sucker. I was like, whoop.
Which one
Netflix,
did you buy?
I'm done. Insignia.
Insignia has it now, too?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
And it works wonderfully.
Better than the Pioneer you bought?
Yeah, the Pioneer. Don't get me started on the Pioneer.
Yeah.
That's another rant for another time. But that's my rant on movies and films.
This just in, the news.
Well, as you all know from our last several podcasts that we've been keeping a close eye on the whole Infinity Ward Activision debacle. And it's come out, I believe it was earlier this week, I think Monday or Tuesday, they confirmed that something like the grand total on the number of employees that have left
Infinity
Ward is now up to 25 or 26. Let me see here. I'm actually going back to the list to verify. I want to give you guys the right number. Let's see here. I'm not seeing it.
Several have left at this point.
Well, a lot have left. And you have to understand that eight more leave Infinity Ward. Here it is. The grand total comes to... As my computer loads slowly. Curse you, internet. The grand total comes to... Where'd it go? It was right here. Grand total comes up to terminations and resignations of 26 at Infinity Ward. Now, just so you guys know, as far as we know, that's only two that were actually fired.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Zampella and
Yep.
And the other 24 quit. Now, that was followed very shortly by, like, the next day. It was either the next day or the day after, or 2 days
later.
And
I think, what is it, eight? Either eight of them or like a dozen of them have gone over to Weston Zampella's new company. Which I think is funny.
After those eight that just quit, two of those actually joined Respawn Entertainment.
Yeah.
Which some people are saying, well, that's just giving firepower for Activision's claim that they were going to start a new company. Well, they got fired. They got, basically, they got tortured and interrogated.
Then they're suing Activision for for their bonuses, basically. Their money that they are owed.
And here's the scary thing. Actually, 10 employees, or 18 employees that still remain at work at Infinity Ward, and 21 of the 38 that have already left the company, it's up to 38 now, apparently, are suing Activision. And they're seeking up to $500 million. Now,
what are they suing for? Is it for their bonuses too?
Suing for their bonuses plus punitive damages, obviously.
At least in the additional amount of 75. They're looking for Activision owes my clients approximately $75 million to $125 million. Mm-hmm. They're seeking that. Activision has withheld that money to force many of the people to stay, some against their will, so that they would finish the delivery of Modern Warfare 3, which has now been put on hiatus.
Yes,
surprisingly enough. And on top of that, they're also seeking from Activision at least the additional amount of $75 million to $500 million as an award for punitive damages. So they're seeking to take a quarter of the profit that was made from Modern Warfare 2 and punitive damages.
Well, the thing is, this is money that they are owed. This is money that they were promised
million
as...
$125 million.
This is money that they are owed for bonuses. This is their work. And then Activision steps in and says, well, we're going to redo our bonus system, so we're going to get a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit later than that, and then we'll give you some more 2 years down the line if you're not fired.
Yeah. And what they're doing
is what they do. It's like a year and a half in, they fire you, and then you don't get that money that you earned.
Yeah, which is really, really crap. But the thing is one of the things about this is I understand suing for punitive damages, but 25% of the profit...
I'll point out that Eric didn't get any bonuses from Mythic, from EA, for his work on Warhammer.
And that game launched
a
good...
before the bonuses came out.
That game got launched to pretty good reviews when it came out.
It made a lot of money when it came out. I mean, and the company made a lot of money and not a cent. So... I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Yeah, I believe that's one of the things that needs to be fixed with the way businesses
and
do business.
I hope this is a stepping stone in that direction, you know, but
we'll
see.
It's what corporations do, though. I mean, they basically stomp all over their employees.
But EA at least didn't have hired goons, I'll put it that way.
There Electronic Arts, unfortunately, looks like they went down a list and said, oh, this person makes too much money, well, let's cut them.
Yeah.
Without even realizing what they do. Like, your brother was the only person that did the pathfinding, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, he did the tools. He basically maintained the tool sets that other people used.
So with him gone, who was to maintain the tool sets?
Not his problem now.
Yeah. But anyways, so 38 employees are suing for $500 million. Well, actually $625 million to be exact, up to $625 million. That's a lot of money. And I agree that they deserve a significant chunk of that. I don't know if they deserve all of that. I mean, $625 million is more than 25% of the profits that was made from Modern Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I know
we're talking about a game made $2 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is... Yeah.
You know, it is the highest grossing video game in history.
But part of that is also just the...
Now, granted, you do need to understand that you can't really think of it in terms of movie money because it costs a bloody fortune to put a game out.
Right. But, I mean, part of that is just them being treated like crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing is that a lot of the people...
And if what they're saying is true, that's very wrong that they got treated that way.
Right.
I mean, hired goons and interrogations?
That's
come on.
Bunk. That's bordering on mafioso-style tactics.
Uh-huh.
And if something like that happens, there should be laws that actually shut down companies that do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And until people step up, companies will continue doing that.
Now, and that's why I'm glad they're stepping up.
And that's
this is in addition to Vince Zampella and.
Although I do love what EA said in comment about it was someone asked EA and a reporter asked EA what if they had a comment on the situation and EA had a great response was Electronic Arts doesn't have the time to comment on all of the lawsuits that Activision has pending against its employees and its creative partners. Like, oh, that's brilliant. I give you clapping for that.
Activision?
No, EA said it. EA said it. We don't have time to comment on all of the lawsuits that Activision has pending against its employees and its creative partners.
Because like, there's a lot.
Ouch.
Yeah, as bad as EA can be, I've never seen
EA. Oh, yeah, EA's
be...
guilty of doing some bad
smurf,
too. So.
Yeah. Oh, better mark that.
Woohoo!
Yeah, EA is really known for doing bad stuff. But the thing is I have never seen EA do anything like this. I mean, I know EA conducts their own in-office and investigations, but they don't interrogate, torture, and hire goons to do so.
It's, yeah. So, yeah, more power to them for their lawsuit. I hope they end up with Bobby Kotick's pants.
Screw that. They need to end up with, like, his left
testicle. And this is in addition to the lawsuit that West and Zampella are on as well.
Yeah, Vince so. West and Adam Zampella, right?
No,
I can't remember
the
names.
Not there. It's West and Zampella.
West and Zampella.
Zampella.
Is it Zampella?
It's Zampella.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry, I sort of jumped into your bit
But the thing is, like I said, they deserve the money. I don't know if they deserve a quarter of the entire profits for the game.
Yeah, I mean
that's
up to the courts as far as I mean that's a legal tactic is they're going to ask for a big number because they're going to expect to get a small number.
How many people are in this?
See, the thing is this is the way I've heard most court cases go.
Mm-hmm.
The people that have been mistreated, they demand a large number. The people who are actually did the mistreating demand a small number, and somewhere in between those two numbers is where they usually come to terms.
So,
but how many people are in this lawsuit?
And this
38.
A lot. This is going to be going on for years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably going to be a decade of litigation.
Once you take into account like the actual law, cost of the lawyers, unless they can get the other company to pay for the court costs, they may have to take that out of what they make. Plus, I mean, that's 30-plus people that they have to split the money up.
Yeah.
Plus, they won't see it for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah.
So,
this is going to get tied up in courts for a long time.
Yeah, I would ask for a ridiculous amount of money and go from there.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't blame them for asking for a lot of money. But the thing is to them, they deserve money. I mean, it was something like, I think the amount that they were offered in bonuses was like 10% of the game's profits for the first 6 months or something like that.
It wasn't that much. I know that,
but it was.
They're due obviously $75 to $125 million. So
that's for 38 people.
Yeah. So I mean, this is not chump change we're talking about.
I seem to recall
it's going to be in litigation for years.
I seem to recall hearing somewhere that the amount that they were expected to get in bonuses was somewhere around the range of like $240 to $280 million, mm-hmm. split among 100. Employees, less than 100 employees. There's like 90. There was like 94 employees in Infinity War.
This is money that they're owed.
All got
screwed. Frankly, so.
Well, and if the company's smart, they may settle out of court.
Yeah.
They're going to have to settle out of court. They don't want to get dragged through the mud. There's people that are...
Well, we'll see what they want to do. So far, Activision is not handling this the right way. The press is against them. The public's opinion is against them. Their CEO, Bobby Kotick, keeps opening his mouth.
And needs to shut the hell up.
Yeah, I'm sure his... And I know his PR department is not wanting him to do that. But, you know, yeah, we'll see, I guess. Give it a couple of years, maybe we'll find out. It might go to arbitration. We may not ever hear about if it settles out of court. We won't hear anything about it, probably. It'll be NDAs. So.
Yeah.
But, you know... We'll
it couldn't
see,
happen to a nicer company.
Oh, yeah.
The company that says that they foster an environment of fear to keep employees
mm-hmm.
working.
Speaking of that, they signed an exclusive 10-year deal with Bungie.
What is Bungie?
Bungie is a production studio.
Bungie is the studio that created Halo.
Halo, yeah.
Oh,
they're also the company that created... not many people who play consoles now really know this very well, but they also created... One of the first-person shooters on the Mac, which was Marathon, and Marathon was awesome. Marathon was one of those games that PC owners wished came out on the PC because it was that good, and they created that series. And the thing
all three Mac players that played it loved it.
I'm sure there's a lot more than that, but
yeah, there's probably six or seven now.
Yeah, the thing is it actually came out on Xbox Live as well. And
well, there you go.
It's very impressive.
Real people can play it.
Yeah. But the thing is, a lot of people probably don't realize that, but Bungie has done a lot of stuff. But the fact that Bungie...
Hey, Apple's been a dick lately, too.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, don't get me started on Apple. Yeah. Apple right now, I'm surprised people haven't firebombed their offices. I mean, violating the Fourth Amendment, the right to not have unlawful searches and seizures.
Wow.
Oh, God.
This is interesting. This is all fascinating. But yes, Bungie.
Yes, Bungie signed a contract to work exclusively with Activision. I don't know why. If I were them, I would have stuck with Microsoft. Microsoft treated them good.
I mean, I think it's funny. Microsoft's now the good guy.
Yeah.
We're like, whoa, what did that happen? I thought Microsoft was the big bad wolf.
Well, they are, but I mean, that's okay.
Yes, but they're the big bad wolf that runs around and huffs and puffs. Well, they're not the ones that strap explosives to themselves and run into your house.
Well, and everybody knows they're the big bad wolf that huffs and puffs. So
Apple's
okay
the one that hires the cops to come kick your door down.
Lord, what is the world coming to?
What was it that what do you say? We have Dictator Gates out saving the world by killing mosquitoes, and Bill and
yes.
Steve Jobs is having cops kick in the doors.
John Stewart, The Daily Show, had a great bit about Apple, but.
We're not going to talk about Apple.
Yes, we're not talking about Apple. We keep tangenting onto it, but yes. You know, that's my fault. That's my bad.
Bungie signed a contract. 10 years. Yep.
And they say they're not concerned about the whole Infinity Ward thing. And I got to think, though, this is probably something that's been in the works for quite some time, and they probably are concerned about that. They're just have to put on this face of going, well, the contracts are signed, so we can't do anything.
But the thing is they should have known about Activision's track record with its developers before they got into
it. It just further evidence that this whole producer-publisher relationship out there just doesn't work. It's broken.
It's a bad scheme.
Bad way to do things. Bad. The only people that suffer. There are a lot of people that suffer, but the people that suffer most of the time are gamers.
Yeah,
because
we're the ones
who are not getting the good games. Because studios are only interested in putting out the blockbuster games, and some of those blockbuster games suck.
A lot of the blockbusters.
Whereas
Halo 3,
you know, now we don't get those really cool games that, you know, it's like Joe Schmo in his garage puts together, and you know,
Beautiful Joe.
Exactly. You know,
Dead Space. Dead Space was very innovative, and there for a long time. There was no.
We don't get that stuff anymore because of this publisher system. Because they're like, well, we can't market that. We can't exploit it for a sequel every year.
That's where the indie
game
scene comes in, and it's getting big. Companies like Steam, the service Steam, and Gathering of Games, GOG Games. I don't know if you've heard of GOG.
I have heard, and they just put up Master of Orion 1 and 2 and Master of Magic. I know, I saw
it. They have it in a pack for like $12.
It's like, it's cheap.
It's like $12 for all three of them.
Way cheap, yes.
Yeah, but
I love Master of Orion.
Like, companies like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just this power that's called Meat Shield.
Oh, you're looking at the
Behind the Warrior 101.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and move on.
But companies like Steam are allowing independent companies to actually produce products and make a profit.
Right, and things like Xbox Live too. It's easier to get stuff out there now. So.
Yeah, but the thing is I hate the whole publisher thing.
That's what's in the news. That was our news rant sort of thing. So.
Yeah.
And
Activision being stupid.
We're going to head on to.
What we're into.
All right. Without merit.
Jeremy, you have the floor.
All right. So I'm doing what I am into right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a couple of different things. I have started on Dragon Age.
A small game, independent. Nobody plays
right,
it.
Right. Nobody plays it. Though I was given.
Nobody around this table's played it at all, ever.
I believe I was handed the game last week or the week before.
I don't remember.
It was very, very recent.
What does this have to do with CantCon?
And I started playing the game, and at this point, I've reached the Fade realm, and I'm having a lot of fun with that game.
You're doing the Mage's Circle quest right now.
We actually even listened to the gentleman who does all the game reviews that hates everything.
Oh,
which was hilarious.
Yahtzee on Zero Punctuation.
Zero Punctuation. And he actually liked it after everything
he
said.
Well, he griped about it, but
he liked it.
In the end, he says it's actually a really good game. He says, come on, people, I have to point out all the faults, but that doesn't mean I don't hate the game.
Right. So I've been playing quite a bit of that. I've been having a lot of fun. It really helps energize some of those role-playing it helps to replenish your role-playing juices, you might say, without having to really overthink things. I also started up my Thoth game again. We've had two sessions so far. Last session was a little short, but that's because I had a sewer backup in my house.
Yeah.
And we'll likely have to replace this whole sewer line.
Lame.
Yeah, very lame, very expensive.
Help Jeremy rebuild the sewer line to his house.
Yeah. Can't. Yeah, if you
go to gamershaven.com and click on the donate button.
Yeah. Because we may have sewage in our basement. Anyway, I am
Your house is a gamer's haven.
My house is a gamer's haven. When are we going to have stickers?
Like window decals?
Yeah, seriously.
I'll work on that.
That would be awesome.
I've actually thought about getting some of those made. Obviously, it's not something I can have done
not right
anytime
now.
Soon.
But what I'm saying
I'll probably get them done in August when I have money.
You know how they have those stickers that say this house is protected by...
Yeah, so... No, I was thinking more like the McGruff stickers, you know?
Oh, that's funny.
But having the safe haven type of thing, like Gamer's Haven, boom! Yeah, anyway.
Right. So also, for...
If anyone wants one of those, email us.
Yeah.
Email me, ethan@gamershavenpodcast.com. Come to our website, talk about it on the forums. If you want a window decal that says your house is a gamer's haven, we can make this happen.
Right, so Dragon Age, a lot of fun. I really like the story. I like the characters.
What's this free game?
Who created Dragon Age?
BioWare.
Okay. Do they have anything to do with...
No, they're EA. Okay. They're owned by EA.
So still evil, but thug evil.
Think of it this way, Jeremy. BioWare created Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate 2,
Icewind
Dale, Neverwinter Nights,
good
Neverwinter Nights,
the
Knights of
the
Old Republic, the first Knights of the Old Republic, plus they're doing Star Wars Old Republic,
that's awesome.
Which is the MMO, right?
Yeah, the Old Republic.
That's going to be cool.
Dragon Age.
The fact that, you know, the actual characters are balanced and you don't have to play a Jedi to do anything.
Hey!
The smuggler gets cover tactics, that's freaking awesome.
It's better than the last Star Wars MMO, that's all I can tell you.
I want to play a Jedi right off the bat.
Well, you can.
That's good. That's what kind of irritated me about the...
Jeremy's episode. Like me. You measure Star Wars games in time to lightsaber.
TTL.
It's like I could play a bounty hunter, a smuggler.
So when do I get a lightsaber?
When do I get to fling people off cliffs and chop them in half with lightsabers?
Exactly. And in Old Republic, you can play a Jedi realistically. Anyway.
Right. I'm also been prepping for my next game, trying to get characters...
Thunder Rift!
I'm not sure when that will actually occur, but I'm hoping to have a couple of different player handouts written up. I'm trying to work on my world, get things generated, that type of stuff.
You don't have to walk quietly.
We have guests. Anyway. We have special guests in our show. In our multi-billion-dollar studio, we have guests today.
Yes.
We have, of course, Nathan's wife, Becca, Nathan's wife's sister, Rachel, and Tyler?
Tyler.
Excellent.
Yes. Rachel's significant other.
Yes. There you go. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know for sure. There we go.
No, I'm pretty sure he's her significant other.
Well, she's not objecting, so.
No.
I'm not objecting.
I was aware that.
He is not a coffee table.
He's just an inanimate object.
Our listeners might recognize Rachel from some of our actual play as well. So
yes, from a while ago. It's been a while.
It has been a while since Lost Tales with Jeremy. Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm really not going to continue because we keep getting off on other tangents.
This
I think this is really
one of
a
those
tangent
crazy sessions.
Session.
Yes, it is. Is there anything else you're into right now?
Unless somebody knows a good plumber that's affordable. So I can
a plumber that's cheap, that'll do all the work for nothing.
Let's see.
Problem.
Plumber that's good at his job, that's cheap. That's a contradiction.
Oh, yeah. Crap.
Send donations.
Yeah, they're rated really
There's
good.
Joe the Plumber.
Wasn't he like someone that Obama talked about a lot?
No, it was someone that McCain talked about a lot. And he wasn't even a plumber. Anyway, so there we go.
So we'll... come to CanCon. That's the whole point of this whole conversation. CanCon.
Yes.
And also donate money so I can fix my, you know, sewer pipes.
Yes, we don't want sewage coming up into
because we do the game there.
The game room
and
that would
the game
be bad.
Room is very close.
Unless you want our gaming stuff covered in poo.
Ew.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be
I
back.
I can send pictures if you really want.
No, thanks. I this is a family show. We'll be back after this.
Okay, before you start the next.
The Wandering Geek Podcast. We get to talk about MMOs and board and card games, DVDs, and everything else geeky for those road warriors out there, right?
Yeah, and for other geeks with limited time on their hands, which these days is just about everyone. And there's a special topic we cover each episode, too. The Wandering Geek Podcast.
At www.wanderinggeek.com.
And over on iTunes, too.
How do you get your geek on?
The Gamers Haven Podcast is proud to present Pathfinder, The Revenge of Westwind Falls. 50 years ago, the dwarven keep of Westwind Falls was attacked. A small group of dwarves were the only known survivors. Now that they're all grown up, it's time for them to find out who destroyed their ancestral home and get revenge for Westwind Falls. Available for download only at www.gamershavenpodcast.com.
We are back with our lovely random encounters for tonight. We have a good pile of stuff to go over.
Yep, and we have an audience right now, too.
We do have a live studio audience. We should get a laugh track. They have been imbibing alcohol, so this might get entertaining.
Yeah, it's probably funny for them.
Exactly. Just hold up the laugh sign. But we're going to go ahead and... we'll actually kick this off with good old Chef Gibbs' Munchies for Munchkins segment. So
we'll
be back right after that.
Munchies for Munchkins. Okay, so this is Noah with this week's Munchies for Munchkins. I'm sitting here with Ethan today, and we're gonna be talking about medieval style meals and how to incorporate them into your game. You know, a lot of settings incorporate are medieval set, especially things like D&D and. And I think with that being the most popular game out there, I figured we'd start there this week because I'm going to spend the next few weeks going over different settings and different types of meal types like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just really briefly, one of the things you actually should decide is how much food is readily available in your campaign. Is food readily available in your campaign? Who has access to it? Traditionally, in American history, or I'm sorry, not American history, in world history, in the medieval period, you know, a lot of the food was only available to the rich, and you know, things like a lot of meat, certain meats, especially beef. Were only eaten by the extremely rich. So that's something that you always need to consider. And, you know, are they oppressive of their poor? Or are they not oppressive of their poor? That's something very... something you really need to, may need to decide depending on the situation. So there's that. The nice thing about a lot of the medieval foods is they're very simple, and if you're going to do a medieval meal for your campaign, you can do it with just a simple one. I'm going to give you guys a specific meal that I set up. That recipes will you'll be able to find them on the Gamers Haven forums, and you'll be able to try them out. The meal is a simple baked herb chicken, which you can do one of two ways. You can either set up with... I like to use boneless chicken thighs, which are really tasty, and they kind of need a knife and fork. Another little side thing you need to decide is, do people use silverware? If not, finger foods. The other thing you can do with that same chicken is do it with bone-in chicken legs, which you can still eat by hand. So you got the chicken. You roasted carrots, whole roasted carrots. You basically just peel them and put a little bit of oil on them and roast the crap out of them. They're delicious that way and very, very good for you. Potato and onion tart, which is basically like sliced potatoes with some onion mixed in, baked in something like a cast iron skillet. You get a really nice result. It'll have this gorgeous golden crust if you do it right, and you get something really tasty there. And then that covers a lot of your basics. That covers your protein. That covers some of your vegetable. That covers some starch. You always may want to throw in something like a salad, which is great for just fresh greens. And that's something that they would have had. Although you may want to keep the salad dressing on the fairly simple side if you're doing a medieval setting. One of the things you can do with this meal that I have actually done before is sit down and do it. You know, if your party has to sit down and visit a king or visit someone else, role play it out yourself. Set the table, have them bring maybe 1d20 and have them bring their character sheet in a pocket protector, which is always useful, as Ethan, I'm sure, is well aware.
Oh, yes. I've been using them for years.
The pocket protectors are good even if you're not eating, because mm-hmm. everybody knows how wonderful snack foods are towards...
They have a multiple use, even if you are eating around the game table. They're perfect for writing with dry erase on as well. So.
Right, and in a lot of recent, a lot of games these days, that's great. I have all my fourth edition powers on a sheet with a dry erase marker, and because it's in that case, I can just put a cross through my daily and encounter powers, and that just keeps everything going great.
Yeah, and if you want to go totally native, you either eat with your hands or just eat with a knife, if my memory serves.
Yes,
that
is correct.
That might get kind of messy.
Well, I mean, I've mentioned it, and you know, I don't know if they have this out near you. Do they have a Medieval Times in Kansas?
The closest one to here, I believe, is in St. Louis. But I've been to the one in Chicago and the one in Florida.
Yeah, that's a great role play experience. It really can be. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know what it is, Medieval Times is a dinner theater, essentially, where mm-hmm. you don't have a knife, you don't have a fork, you don't have a spoon, and there's like jousting combat and dramatic sword fighting and stuff. It's very fun to watch. It's very fun to do, but, you know, as a kid, I always actually loved the food because I was allowed to eat with my hands. And they serve you soup, then they serve you some chicken, and then they serve you some other vegetables and stuff, and it's pretty good. It's all edible with your fingers, and it's a good time.
It's a great experience. It's something definitely gets you in the mood for some D&D.
Yeah, yeah. So we talked about the main course. The one other thing you want to look at is dessert. And desserts, when it comes to a medieval setting, are actually something. I'm sorry, that have a bit of a history to them. You know, once again, sugar is kind of an iffy thing in medieval settings. It was very widely used by the medieval Europeans, but it was very highly treasured. It was viewed also as a drug as much as it was used as a sweetener. And you have to understand that with a medieval mentality to food, you were actually eating things in an order of what they considered was good for filling your stomach, because they saw your stomach as actually continuing the process of cooking, not so much as digesting. They actually thought it was kind of like a continuing to cook kind of thing. So what you ended up doing is you would eat easier to eat foods first, and that's where you got things like aperitifs and things to, you know, get your stomach going. And then desserts were often used to, you know, close it off and finish. So you would actually end with something like a wine-soaked sugar cube, as much as you'd end with a pastry. So, you know, sorry about that little tangent right there, but So dessert's always something interesting. Puddings are great to do, and I'm not even talking about complicated puddings. There is nothing wrong with Jell-O pudding. I love Jell-O pudding. I'm a chef, and I love Jell-O pudding. Don't think that because it's instant, it's bad. People, don't think that it's an offense to anyone's skills. Actually, the chicken dish that you guys are gonna see is a recipe that I love to use. I've used it at holidays at my house here. I've used it for all kinds of occasions. It's a Lipton. It uses the Lipton herb and garlic soup mix.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do, I'm going to describe this real fast. Basically, what you do is you take a little bit of, you take the Lipton soup mix, crack the powder, pour it in a bowl, add 2 tablespoons of water, of oil, and enough water to make it into a paste, and then you brush it over the top of the chicken and bake it. That's all. That's it.
Sounds horrible for you, but
no, actually, it's actually a very healthy dish because you're only baking the chicken.
That's true.
The small amount of oil that's on the that goes into making it into a paste really doesn't do that much for the effect of a chicken. And like I said, I use boneless, skinless chicken thighs for this dish. There's no, you know, so the fat level is not that high.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a very healthy chicken dish, and I have gotten more compliments, and, you know, I actually had people turn to me and go, you must have spent hours on this. And literally, you can throw this together and get it in the oven in under 15 minutes.
Very nice.
and people think it's like the most impossible chicken dish in the world. By the time this goes up online, I will have made I'm going to put the recipes online for everybody. I'm also going to throw pictures up, so I will be cooking again in the house, which will please the wife and mother. Not the wife mother, not like creepy thing like that. It's, you know.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yes. I live with my wife and I live with my mother. It's in the same house. So there's an idea for one basic, medieval meal you guys can do. I have to thank, my buddy Chef Andy for giving me the, potato tart idea because I was stumped on what to do for potatoes. I mean, potatoes, they're fairly generic. You can do a lot with potatoes. The potato tart's actually a classic French cuisine idea that looks good, tastes good, and is fairly easy to do. So, cool. So there you go, guys. That's French. If you guys have any other comments and recommendations, you can always reach me at munchforMunch@gamershavenpodcast.com and check out the new Munchies for Munchkins section on the Gamers Haven forums. You'll be seeing a lot of our recipes up there and even extended recipes and extra recipes that we don't mention in the show. Anything else you want to add in, Ethan? Or?
Nope, you made me very hungry now. So.
Yes, well, that was my intention all along. Okay. So, there you go, guys. See you in a few weeks, and feast well.
Will do. That was Munchies for Munchkins.
And if you do recipes on the site, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we have added a Munchies for Munchkins forum in our forum section specifically for him to post recipes and whatnot in there. So thank you very much, Chef Gibbs. And speaking of Chef Gibbs, we have frogs from Chef Gibbs.
Toad.
Nathan has a toad.
Actually,
we have frogs.
Frogs.
No, I have a toad. See, it's labeled as a toad on the bottom.
Right. But yep, these are
giant
frogs.
Toad chef.
There you go.
Yeah, this is
See,
a
That's actually a toad. But.
Good old Chef Gibbs heeded our call and sent us several loaves of bread and three giant frogs with chef's hats on.
The bread is very good.
Luckily, the frogs did not eat the bread, as I had some, Jeremy had some, and then my mother, brother, and sister-in-law ate the rest of it. Nathan sadly didn't get any, but hopefully he's talking about sending us some chocolate. So
that the situation can be rectified on the whole me not getting any by shipping it directly to me.
There is that
because everyone comes here.
There is that, but you know, someone's not always home here.
He's gonna eat it all.
No, there I is won't
that.
Eat it all.
I heard you ate all the cookies.
I have a
what
half
cookies?
Of a loaf. You can probably have.
Yes, I did. They were very tasty.
So we want to say thank you
yes,
to
thank you.
To Chef
yes.
Gibbs. Major shout
thank
out
you.
To him for
well, thank you for, the toad.
For satisfying Jeremy's need for a giant frog.
Yes, I have a giant frog
with a chef's hat.
Yep, and I have a toad with a chef's hat.
Yes, and I have a frog with a chef's hat. Yeah. And bread.
I didn't get any.
Well,
bread.
I don't have bread anymore because my family ate it.
I didn't get any bread, but everyone says it's good. So maybe sometime in the future he'll send some more, and I can get some from that.
Yeah, if you're gonna send us chocolates or something, you know, toss in a loaf of bread, and I'll make sure Nathan gets it this time. So
right.
Oh gosh, we have a bunch of other stuff to some other and it's not really a bunch, but we have some other random encounters. Got an email from Owen. Let's see. Oh, that's an old one. I actually have read that one before.
Which one's Owen?
He's no one we care about. Got an email from Joe McJoe, who
Joe
is of
McJoe!
Course the winner of the giant frog from one of the giant frogs, I should say. And he sent us a picture of himself with his newfound friend, the giant frog.
That's a good picture.
which will, of course, be going up in the forums when I get the chance to throw it up there.
Peruse.
Yes, so you'll have to go to our forums to see Joe McJoe's Joe McJoe in his froggy brilliance. We got an email from, let's see, from 8th Pagan, who's, you know, still staunchly telling us that, you know, et cetera. He says, okay. Hi, says, hi, remind me to correct your pronunciation of English swear words again. I think this goes to the whole twat thing. As you probably guessed, the suicide mission I referred to in previous emails was Mass Effect 2. I incidentally have just finished Mass Effect 2, and it is the awesome. And
you
hopefully be playing
right.
Again.
It's Te-awesome.
Te-awesome. It is te-awesome. I loved it. It was so cool. And I just downloaded the Kasumi Stolen Memory, which he's talking about here. Not sure if you've picked up the downloadable content for it called Kasumi Stolen Memory. If you look around in the vault area, you'll find a large statue of an ogre from Dragon Age. So I look forward to finding that.
Really?
I also completed Dragon Age Awakenings, and although it was entertaining, it was not as much fun as the original. I haven't done that one yet. The combat was a bit too easy, in my opinion, with a high-level character. Now, what arrogance, thinking that America is Region 1 for Pagans. It might be Region 1 for DVDs, but not for Pagans. So the 8th Pagan has no connection with the alleged disappearance of seven other Pagans.
Notice he says alleged disappearance.
Alleged disappearance. Now, in fact, we received an email from someone calling himself the 7th Pagan, saying, hi, I would just like to point out that myself and the other 6 Pagans are fine. The 8th Pagan has not done anything to us and is in no way forcing me to type this while holding a sword behind my neck. Goodbye, the 7th Pagan. Well, 7th Pagan, I hope this finds you with your head still on your shoulders. But I think there was something in those words.
Do you want me to do a reverse lookup on that and see where that
is? Yeah, you know, I think that 7th Pagan, you know, I don't know, the font looked kind of 8th Paganish to me in that email. So,
well, maybe he was channeling their dead souls.
Maybe he was. Maybe that's part of his
maybe
power.
Maybe he's like Highlander. You know,
he takes their head and with
the
it
head
their power.
Takes the power.
I think we have an idea here.
And if it's like the last Highlander movie, his face will shift back.
Got an email from someone calling themselves Beldar.
Beldar the Barbarian.
Beldar. I know that name.
He's Beldar 1215. So, did he kill the previous 1,214 of them?
Oh,
I would guess
no.
So. The subject of his email is "I hate you guys."
That's good.
So he says, "Message, hey guys, let me start off by saying how much I can't stand you guys." Okay, maybe not. I tried. I've posted a couple things about some new Deadlands games that I'm playing in and running. Well, Saturday was the first day for both games, and both games went extremely well. I had a great time running and playing, and had I have your Deadlands Reloaded game to thank for it. I've been playing Savage Worlds for over 2 years, but hadn't tried Deadlands. Thanks for posting and keep up the good work, even though I hate you guys. Hey, it's always good to be hated, you know.
Yeah,
you know, we got haters.
You know you're going someplace if you've got enemies.
Exactly, So we are, you know, going someplace. We got another email from Spellblade. Who said, hey, guys, thanks again for reading my emails every podcast. Jim Dark Magic is the wizard played by Gabe of Penny Arcade. Another cool wizard, but still not nearly as cool as Hercule for the simple fact that Hercule has Fick. I am still waiting for you guys to put out an actual play of Call of Cthulhu. I would love to hear some of the scariest or funniest situations you have ever had while playing Cthulhu. Thanks again, Spellblade.
Yeah, we won't go into the scary situations. Sorry.
No, I'm pretty much the one who ruins all the moods in the Call of Cthulhu games.
With a good reason, because we've seen what happens when the moods aren't ruined and bad stuff happens.
Yeah, so far Nathan hasn't kicked me out of it at all. So,
no, I need Ethan there because I don't generally always take it so lightly, and I need someone actually to break the mood because everybody starts to get really uncomfortable and worried.
So yeah, hopefully we'll have some more from CantCon this year, although I don't think we're going to have an actual Call of Cthulhu campaign running at any time soon.
No,
so,
the next campaign, which starts tomorrow...
Yep, is Pathfinder.
It's Pathfinder, but so. the actual name of the campaign is I have it written down. I'll get it to you guys later.
Yes.
But it's the final book in my trilogy.
Nice.
So we're gonna see how it goes.
So sorry, not a lot to say about, you know, Call of Cthulhu. We love it, but I'm the one who ruins the mood all the time. Now Got an email from Scott Langston, who says, who is actually one of the guys on the Wandering Geek podcast at wanderinggeek.com. Very good show. He just wanted to let us know that he played our promo on their 15th episode, which posted on April 21st. So,
yes, thank you.
Apparently, they posted our promo because they really like what we're doing and wanted to share that with our listener, with their listeners. So I thank them very much for playing their promo. I've played a couple of theirs now. So
our high-quality programming.
Our high-quality intellectual program, because if you've made it this far in this show, you deserve a medal.
Yeah. If you have any idea what's going on by this point in the show.
Exactly, yes.
You deserve Mensa certification.
But, I highly recommend the Wandering Geek podcast at wanderinggeek.com. It's hosted by Kurt the Camera Guy and Scott Langston. Both are, I believe, truck drivers and who are geeks. And they travel around and talk about geeks on the go, basically. So it's a good show. Very cool. Very nice.
That's really cool.
Got an email from... Aaron Huss over at themysticalthrone.com. He's opened a website called themysticalthrone.com for the purpose of educating the general public on games they may or may not play. The list of games ranges from miniature war games to board games, role-playing games, collectible card games, to terrain and tools used for those games. This letter of intent is a formal request to reference specific episodes of your podcast where reviews were performed for a corresponding product. I'd like to also add a banner of your podcast and links to the website on a separate informational page. Please send your response, blah, blah, blah. I already sent a long response and said, go right ahead. We're always up for cheap, you know, cheap pimping. So.
Yeah, just as long as he's not part of... Viacom.
Activision?
No, or, no, so this is not part of Viacom.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, themysticalthrone.com. Go and check it out. They're going to be popping up some stuff, basically saying that some stuff that Gamers Haven's talked about. So go check them out. Thank you. I need to get him a banner or something, I'm sure, at this point. Got an email from Ryan Hemhauser, actually. This is about a charity marathon that he's doing, a video game charity marathon. It says, hi, I'm Ryan Hemhauser. A few years ago, my mother passed away from lung cancer when I was 15, 5 days before my 16th birthday.
Sorry to hear that.
I really did not know how to cope with the loss, so I turned to what I did best, which is playing video games. After a few months of losing sleep to video games, my cousin told me to, quote, get off the Xbox and do something with my life. Well, I'm 20 years old now, and I still have not gotten off the Xbox, although I did do something with my life. I combined the two concepts, helping people and gaming. In the past few years, I've run video game events to raise money for charities. In honor of my mother, I'm running a video game charity marathon. If you could help me spread the word of the charity marathon, it would be really mean a lot to me. Video Game Charity Marathon is presented by Triple V Gaming and the Game Lounge. Triple V Freedom on May 20th. Triple V Gaming will be holding a video game marathon at the Game Lounge in Toms River, New Jersey. For up to 12 hours, gamers will come and pay to play their favorite video game titles for charity. All proceeds earned will go to the American Cancer Society.
That's cool.
Contests will be held throughout the day, and prizes are available for each event. In the afternoon, a Halo 3 two-on-two tournament will be held, showcasing the best talent around and helping fund cancer research. If you can't make it, but you still want to donate, email triplevfreedom@triplev-gaming.com. Or go to www.vvv-gaming.com. And this is happening again in the Game Lounge at 912 Hazelwood Road in Toms River, New Jersey on May 20th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 2 hours cost $15, 5 hours cost $30, 8 hours $45, or if you want to come for the whole 12 hours, it's $60. So. And then the Halo 3 tournament's at 3 o'clock that day, and there's prizes given out all day. So we encourage anyone to come out and represent the community. We're all gamers, and they can all make a difference. So I want to say thanks, Ryan, for sending us an email about this. Obviously, we can't make it. We're in Kansas, but we have a few people, including Jeff Gibbs out in New Jersey. I don't know if he'll be able to make it either. But spread the word for people. Go to vvv-gaming.com. Or send an email to freedom@vvv-gaming.com. and support this. Support this. It's a good cause for cancer research and the American Cancer Society. So there is that. So thanks for that email, Ryan. We got another email. Let's see, from Andrew Zerly. We're going to call you Andrew. My group and I would like to run the Wizards College campaign. Again, Wizards Collage campaign. What is it with people wanting it to make a collage out of this campaign? For this reason, we need the campaign guide, and I was wondering if you could email it to me. I love the campaign, and I'm listening to it for the second time now. It would be a privilege to be able to run it. Please get back to me as soon as you can. Anyone who's interested in anything Wizards College needs to talk to Andre, and you can reach at andre@gamershavenpodcast.com. So, and it's all up to him. That's his baby. It's his thing. So I can't really give you anything about it. Got an email. Let's see. We mentioned, obviously, this a while back, the Secret Skeleton Games over in Lenexa, Kansas. So
Secret Skeleton Miniatures, you mean.
Secret Skeleton Miniatures. I just wanted to make sure people Google that. You know,
Check it out.
Check it out. They have a Facebook page. We've liked it on our sites, on our Facebook, on Gamers Haven Facebook. So
I liked it on my account too. It's, they've got some incredible looking minis.
Yes, yes, very cool stuff. Also, want to say thank you to Goodman Games and Chris Diaz for sending us a copy of Amethyst as a PDF, of course. He also is going to see if he can drum up a copy of it for CantCon. We're going to see if we can do that or not, so that's cool. Got an email from... let's see. Got an email again from the Eighth Pagan, who wants us to desperately stop using the annoying Vorpal Network advertisement that I've been playing with the monastic droning. Okay. I'll try. We'll see. I might entirely lie to you and do it anyway. And then, really, that is it. No more emails. No voicemails this time either. So, the only thing I've got as far as some interesting bit is, I told Nathan about it, was Warhammer Fantasy 8th Edition is coming out on July 10th.
Yeah, announced. My guys haven't even come out in 7th edition yet.
Good old Games Workshop is putting out Warhammer Fantasy Battles 8th Edition on July 10th.
Before 7th is done.
Yes, I do believe they still have 7th edition books that are not out yet. So,
Bretonians, Ogre Kingdoms, let's see, who else? The Orcs and Goblins just came out. So,
assuming that those books are still coming out at this point, there's real no need to buy them if you want to move on to the next edition. So,
because you'll just have to wait another 4 years for
it. It's interesting. So, yeah. Apparently, I guess sales are bad enough, they need to put out another edition for it, because that was sort of their reasoning. I know this is all coming from the people, the two-thirds of us that like 4th edition type of thing, so... but, you know, whatever.
But the thing is 7th edition was good. It just, we all needed to be on the same rule system.
So, there you go. There you have it. Warhammer, Fantasy Battles, Tabletop Miniatures, 8th edition coming out in July.
I think we'll be sticking with 7th edition for a little while.
I can't believe it's already coming out in July. That's just...
Yeah.
Unless they own up and suddenly just release all that's left of the 7th edition books.
Yes. We'll see. Whatever. All right.
Larry Book hasn't even come out.
This
for
on the
edition
this
yet.
On the heels also in their Skaven has been nominated for an Origins award. So the new 7th edition
balanced
Skaven book.
Daylights
so.
Out of them. They're actually a somewhat more balanced army now.
Yeah. So, you know, interesting. But so Warhammer players out there, 8th edition is coming out. So I guess that's really some of the only thing I've got, unless you guys have another random encounter you want to talk about.
No.
Then we were going to go ahead and sign off this episode 66 of the Gamers Haven podcast. There will be much rejoicing, I'm sure.
Yes.
So I don't think this episode is going to clock in at 9 hours this time. So, thanks everyone for listening. As usual, hit up our website. GamersHavenPodcast.com. Come to CantCon if you can. CantCon.com.
Send donations so I can repair my sewer pipe.
Yes, you can either send donations to the American Cancer Society or send it to Jeremy to fix the sewage.
First, send it to the Cancer,
Cancer Society. Yes, yes.
Then send some to repair the sewer pipes.
Yes, the nice Jeremy's house, sewer pipe, clay pipe.
That
might
is important.
Bad, yeah.
But cancer,
we don't want Jeremy to be homeless.
Need to have that, so send that to them first.
Yes. So that's
write
it.
A big check.
There you
split
go.
Split it in half. Or no. Write us both big checks.
There you go. So the any of our listeners out there that are millionaires, send us money.
One-third,
Jeremy,
two-thirds to cancer.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you guys. There you go. We will send you guys, we will talk to you guys next time.
Later.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.